Welcome to the Nations Church Wangara podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I want to talk to you today a little bit about the year ahead. You know, as I step into a new year, I'm asking God the question, God, how can I thrive in 2025? How can I thrive in 2025? And I know it's a cool rhyming phrase, but I believe it's more significant than that. I honestly, you know, 2024, for me personally, had some ups and downs, had some challenges, had some highlights, had some editors cut, you know, things that didn't make the show reel moments. But like, I'm asking God, how can I personally thrive in 2025? Would anyone want to ask God that question today? Today I want to speak to you a little bit about how to thrive in 2025. I want to thrive as a human being. I want to thrive as a child of God. I want to thrive as a father and husband and a friend. I want to thrive in the relationships that God has bestowed upon me. How many people know that relationships are a gift? Sometimes we take them as a right and then we can be entitled about relationships and expect that people owe us time and owe us text messages and conversations. But I believe God wants to cause us to see them with gratitude and as a gift, and that we would contribute in a thriving way to the relationships in our lives. Amen? Whether it's family or friendship or your spouse. And, you know, I want to thrive as a minister, and I want to thrive in what God's called me to do. You know, I'm not a minister because I have a title of pastor. I'm a minister because I'm called by God to be used by God on the planet while I live here. Amen? And if I'm called by God, that means you're called by God. If He can take a donkey like me, come on somebody, then He can use you. You're more intelligent, more handsome, more good looking than I am. But if God can use me, He can use you. God wants to use all of us to be ministers, and I believe that He wants us to thrive in 2025. I don't want to just survive in 2025. I want to thrive in 2025. Is that stirring in you today? Is there something in you that says, yeah, I want in on that? I don't want to just survive. See, the word survive literally means to just pull through, to barely make it, to hold on and hold out until you get through. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe that sums up 2024 for you. Like, maybe you look back on the season you've just been through and said, man, I just held on. I just made it through. Maybe you've been through a season in your life and you barely made it. Well, praise God that you did survive. But the word thrive means grow or develop well or vigorously. To prosper, to flourish, to bloom, blossom, advance, make strides, expand. And I love this simple phrase, to do well. To do well. How many people want to just do well this year? I want to do well in the year and months ahead. And you know, I'm not going to downplay surviving, because I don't want you to get me wrong here today, because we are survivors. We're survivors. I feel like I'm looking at a room of survivors. You're a survivor. I'm a survivor of what the enemy threw at me in 2024, in 2023, in 2018, in 2015. Come on, somebody. I'm a survivor of what the devil planned and plotted against my life, and I've come through the other side. You're a survivor of what people said about you, how people tried to stop you, how the devil tried to stop you. You survived. Tap someone on the shoulder right now. Just give them a little shake and say, you're a survivor. You're a survivor. But here's what I want to say today, that if you are a survivor, any survivors in the room? There's a couple. Some are like, does that mean you just, I don't know what it means. But there's some survivors in the room. Yeah, make some noise if you survived what the enemy threw against you. If God brought you through. If you're a survivor, then you're called to be a thriver. If we're a survivor, then we're not called to survive just so that we can keep surviving. We're called to survive so we can thrive. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've never watched the show Survivor and seen the final person who survived the whole journey and all the trial and the turmoil and all the cheating and all the social strategies and everything, who came to the winning point, got the prize, and they said, awesome, guys, I'm going back to the survival zone. It's all good. You can keep the prize. I just wanted to know that I won. Now I want to go back and live off, you know, twigs and sticks and berries and grapes and whatever else. Are you with me? When they survive, it's because they want to get the winnings and then go and thrive. Are you with me? I believe that Jesus saved us out of our mess. Jesus saved us out of our pain. Jesus rescued us from the plans of the enemy. He helped us survive so that we could thrive. And in 2025, I believe that God is giving us grace and mercy and empowerment and vision so that we can thrive in 2025. Anybody say amen? John 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief, aka the devil, that serpent of old, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy." In other words, the devil's got one mission for your life, and that is to kill, steal, and destroy. If you went through pain, heartache, trial, testing, there's a good chance that there was an enemy. The enemy was strategizing because that's his whole mission in life, right? The Bible says he came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I believe that thriving is the picture of this abundant life that Jesus has for us. Abundant life is so much more than where you live or what you drive. It's what's going on the inside. Thriving life is not about what we have just around us, even though that is a fruit of the thriving life. The Bible says, "May we prosper in all things as our soul prospers." As we thrive on the inside, as we thrive in our human, in our being, and thrive in who God's called us to be, I believe that there is grace for all those things. But I'm not putting a stereotypical badge of abundance and associating it with things. I'm associating it with wellness, wholeness, who we are, what's going on within us, the inner life, amen, which is the source of all the things that go on around us. As our soul goes, so the rest of our life goes. And so the question for me today, before I say that, the word abundantly, as I looked it up in the dictionary, it literally had a word picture, said, picture the plant that grows abundantly in the wild. That's a picture of thriving. This word abundance and thriving, they go together. Picture just a thriving plant, a bush that's just gone crazy and it's just sprouted up in every direction. That's what thriving looks like. That's what the abundant life looks like. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but we survived. Jesus came to give us life, so in Jesus' name, we're going to thrive. Are you with me today, Nations Church? God has called us to thrive in 2025, and so how do we thrive in 2025? I just got two thoughts today, and I know there's probably more things, but these are the two things I felt to highlight and to preach about today. And the first one is stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. We're going to jump into John chapter 15 together. It's going to be on the screen as well. Verse 1, and we're going to read through a few verses all the way to verse 8. And the Bible says this, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up or takes away." But the real word there in the Greek is lifts up. We're going to come back to it in a moment. "Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes." Somebody said hallelujah with an ouch at the end of it. "That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Hello, branches. How are we doing? "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples." Can we say amen to the word of God? Amen. This is a beautiful passage giving us a picture and a calling to be connected to the vine. Be connected to the vine. Verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." We're going to talk for a few minutes about being connected to the vine. Here's what I wanted to say to start off with is, don't try to be the vine, just become good at being a branch. Don't try to be the vine in your life. Sometimes I've tried to be the vine. The vine is the source. The vine is the supply of life, power, nourishment, strength. Come on, somebody. Sustenance, nutrients, everything that's essential to this outcome of fruitfulness is coming from the vine, not from the branch. It doesn't originate in the branch, it originates in the vine. The vine is the source. And the Bible says here clearly that Jesus Christ is the vine and that you and I are the branches. There's only one job, there's only one position for the vine, and that's already taken by Jesus. So you and I need to quit applying for that job. We need to quit putting our resume forward of why we think we can be the vine. Jesus is the vine, and that's all there is to it. Amen? But sometimes we try to live our year and our months and our days like it's all on us, like we are the source. But that's Jesus' job, not ours. So don't try to be the vine in 2025. Just be a good branch. Embrace the branch life, okay? Sometimes people are like, I mean, that sounds boring. I want to be the vine. I want to be like the center of all that's going on. But Jesus called us to be a branch among many branches. Today, all of us are here. We're all branches. There's no branch better than the other. We're all called to be mega fruitful. We're all destined to bear fruit that's heavy and bountiful for the kingdom of God. But there's only one vine. And I feel like today, for some people, for some of us, for me, we need to just settle in our lives. I'm not the vine. I'm not the source. I'm not God in my own life. I'm not the be-all and end-all. It doesn't all start and stop with me. Come on, somebody. I'm a branch in this wider story, but Jesus is the Alpha. He's the Omega. Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 6 to the church at Philippi, he said, I'm convinced of this one thing, that he who began the good work in you, guess who began the work in us? Not us. We didn't get this thing started, and guess what? He will finish it too. That's Jesus. And everything in between, it all depends on him. And so I want to encourage us in this year ahead, don't try to be the vine. Just be a good branch. Be a good branch, and a good branch focuses on being connected to the vine. The vine is the source. That's Jesus. Divine life flows from him. Strength, purpose, vision, it all flows from him. Divine life flows from the vine. The divine comes from the vine. Are you with me? And if you're in your life, you're like, man, I feel like my life is a bit limited. I need some divine activity. I need the power of God. I need the strength of God. The divine will flow from the vine. Let's focus on Jesus being the vine, amen? And us being the branch. Really simple, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the simple. When we try to be the vine for ourselves, the source, the strength, we try to come up with everything. We don't actually thrive. We barely survive. And that's not what God wants for us. Amen? So let's just focus on being the branch. Verse 2, Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up and takes away. Now, the translation here is a bit different between different versions. Some versions say takes away. Some versions say cut off. But when you go into the original Greek, the Bible actually says lifts up. Now, I don't know why they didn't translate it exactly like that, but the Bible says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the gardener, who is God, he is the good gardener, he lifts the branches up. Now, what's going on here? What happens in vineyards is that sometimes a branch will fall below the trellis, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and will sag into the dirt, and it will land in the dust. When the dust gets on it and clogs up the pores of the branch, and the mud gets on it and all that kind of stuff, and bugs crawl over it, it becomes unfruitful. And maybe you're looking back over 2025, and if you're over 2024, you're being honest, you say, I feel like I've been a low-hanging branch. I feel like I've been looking around, and I see fruit in others, I see things happening in people's lives, and for me, I feel like I've been laying in the dust. I don't know about you, but I've had seasons where I've felt like I was a branch laying in the dust. I had stuff I was trying to get through. I had things, you know, weighing me down. I felt like I was living in the gutter. I definitely wasn't living the eagle's wings kind of life. I feel like I was laying in the dust. Anybody resonate with me at some point in their life? But what the good news is that the gardener examines the vineyard. God is the good gardener, the Father, and he examines. And the Bible says that when he sees a branch laying in the dust, that he lifts it up. He lifts it up. He lifts it up. Why is he lifted up? He lifts it up so he can clean it. He lifts it up so he can reconnect it to the other branches and the vine in a healthier way so it can become fruitful. Is that good news today? Maybe you just feel like, man, I felt heavy. I felt unfruitful. I felt low. I felt like there's sin in my life. I don't know what to do about it. Today, if you will focus on letting the gardener pick you up, if you'll focus on being connected to the vine, he will lift you up to where you need to be so you can be fruitful in 2025. He lifts up the low-hanging branches and he connects them to the trellis. Somebody say trellis. The structure that is built around the vine to help support the branches. You know, the vine does not just carry all the branches just by itself. And even though Jesus is the vine and all strength and all power belongs to him, he chooses to partner with the trellis. Are you with me? The trellis is the structure that is part of the vineyard setup. I'm going to show you a photo of the structure. Just throw up that first photo, Kevin, for me. You see, when we look at a thriving vineyard, it's never random. It's never just like going this way and that way and going that high and that low. It's always has structure. We look at this beautiful WA vineyard. You can see the careful structure, the spacing of the rows. You can see the posts at the beginning of each row, and there's wires that go all the way through, connecting to another post, and those wires are called the trellis. And a thriving vine has a good trellis. I believe that when God picks us up out of the dirt, he connects us to the trellis, which is the structures that he wants to put in our life to help us thrive. Sometimes it takes structure and the vine to help us thrive as a branch. Are you with me? Structure could be, the support around you. Sometimes, you know, structure looks like community. Structure looks like relationships that God puts you in. It's the other branches that are entwining around each other. It could be just a simple thing as a Bible plan, a Bible reading plan. You know, I love the app YouVersion on my phone. I get into it every day, and it's just an incredible piece of structure that helps me stay connected to the vine. There's so many Bible plans. If you don't have the app on, I encourage you to check it out. But God gives us things like the Bible plan. There's a time and place to seek God, a connect group to do life with, teams to serve with, significant relationships to invest into. God puts structure around us as branches to help us get up off the ground. Come on, somebody. We're connected to the vine, but we don't want to be hanging down in the dirt. We want to be flying high in the air, in the breeze, and allowing the fruit to form without being obstructed. Amen? So God lifts us. He gives us structure. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he lifts. And every branch that does bear fruit, let's look at a couple more of these photos, see the structure, and then go to the third one. You can see the trellis running all the way down. Go to the third one and look at the fruit. The fruit isn't hanging on the ground. The fruit is hanging around the trellis from the branches. Abundant, thriving vineyards have structure and they're connected to the vine, all working together. Amen. How many people know that Jesus gives us himself and his church? Jesus is the head, the vine, and the church is the body. Come on, somebody, the trellis. And God gives us the body of Christ. And within there, there's places for you to be supported. There's a way for you to have structure. And I believe that God wants to strengthen that in 2025. So let him guide you into the structure that he has for your life. Amen? It goes on to say that every branch that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. He gives structure and strength. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. How do I be connected to the vine in 2025? Just allow God to prune you. Allow God to prune you. We're going to talk about that a bit more in a minute, but sometimes there's a pruning coming that we don't like. It's not fun, but just know there's more fruit on the other side. Amen? The pruning of the Lord. We're going to focus heaps on that today, but sometimes it's just a season for that. Pruning precedes thriving sometimes. And we got to just be okay with that because we are not the vine. We are not the gardener. We are the branch. We let God work on us. Amen? Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Abiding here speaks about dwelling and remaining. Literally, the word means continue to be present. Continue to be present. You know, it's easy to be distracted in our vine branch relationship. It's easy to be distracted by the busyness of life. It's easy to be distracted by the objectives and priorities of the day. It's easy to be distracted by our emotions and all the things that are going on in our life. But Jesus is so clear here that the branch cannot bear fruit without the vine, and so our lives cannot bear kingdom fruit without Jesus, the source of all things fruit in the kingdom. Amen? And it's just so simple today. It's not a big, huge new revelation, but it's a reminder to say, let the vine connection be the highest priority in our life. Abide in me. Kingdom fruit is the fruit of Christ. It cannot be manufactured. It can only be organically produced through true connection and communion with the vine. We're talking about the things like fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the kingdom moving forward, and we had a contribution in it. We're talking about relationships flourishing, the flourishing that God has for our lives in a kingdom way. It cannot happen apart from the vine. It cannot happen because we manufactured it. It cannot be happening just because we wanted it to happen. It comes through the organic connection to the vine. Amen? Abide, dwell, remain, continue to be present with the Lord. Vine connection is vital for living a thriving life. And it's not a tricky thing. It's just a simple choice to be present with the Lord. Amen? To be present, to carve out space for Him, whatever that looks like for you. There's no rules, there's no regulations. But if you find a structure that works for you, a place, a time, a way to get through the Bible, people to do it with, a commitment to God's house. Can I encourage you? Even serving in a team is so, I found so helpful for me to stay really well connected to the vine. Being a part of serving, being a part of intertwining with other branches. It's so beautiful. Verse 4 is about abiding. I want to encourage you to dwell and remain connected to the vine. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It's so powerful. You know, this week we're really just encouraging our boys around reading the word, and we're getting together as a family and just saying, hey, let's make time to read the Bible amongst all the chaos and all the things that are happening. And, you know, I really felt to encourage my boys with this passage in Ezekiel chapter 3. And, you know, I've been seeing things come up on Instagram about the word of God for the year. You know, people saying stuff like, hey, Bible before breakfast. Bible before phone. How many people can say they're doing that? Bible before other stuff. And, you know, it sounds kind of corny and it sounds almost a little bit religious. But the reality is, if we prioritize the vine, come on, somebody, if we prioritize God's word, and part of the vine connection, Jesus said here is, abide in me and let my words abide in you. That's how we can be connected. And I encourage my boys with this passage from Ezekiel chapter 3 that God was speaking to me from. I found it so fun. I love that God is fun. Are you guys all about fun? God is a fun God. Ezekiel chapter 3, God gives Ezekiel a really fun, practical, prophetic thing to do, but I believe it can speak to us today. In verse 1, he says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. How many people love cinnamon scrolls? Oh yeah, baby, my wife made cinnamon scrolls this week and they were delicious. Lunchbox material for the next day. Let's go. Brown sugar, cream cheese icing. Oh yeah. Mark Godfrey, you know your brown sugar, baby. But this is not a cinnamon scroll we're talking about this morning. But the first OG scroll that God gave someone to eat was not a cinnamon scroll, but in fact, it was the scroll of the Word of God. And in verse 2, he says, so I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly, fill your stomach with this scroll that I give to you. So I ate and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. There's a scroll for us to eat. It's called the Word of God. The scroll of the book of whatever you choose, when you begin to eat it, you are eating the Word of God. Let me tell you that the Word of God is spiritual food, right? Just like we love to eat burgers and steaks and healthy salads and chicken and all that kind of stuff, our body thrives on it. Well, our spirit and our soul thrive when we eat the scroll of the Word of God. It is like sweetness, like honey in our mouth and satisfies our belly. And I just want to encourage you, like, just think about this verse when you're thinking about the Word of God this year. Just think about, man, I need to eat the scroll. I need some God's scrolls to eat. Forget Cinnium. I need God's divine scroll. Come on, somebody. I need to eat the scroll today. Have I eaten the scroll? Have I taken a bite from the scroll today? Just make it fun, make it practical. But like, God's word in us is sweet, and God's word within us will fill us. It'll satisfy us. Come on. It'll cause the vine, the divine life to flow within us as we connected to the vine. Eat. Somebody, turn to someone and say, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll. Ezekiel had to literally eat paper. You just get to read it, okay? I mean, you can eat it if you want. That helps you in your discipleship journey. Get that rice paper, start eating it. I'm cool with it, all right? I'm sure it won't kill you. Eat the scroll. Verse 8. We're just going through these verses by verse. Is that okay today? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. See, the end goal, firstly, the goal is communion and relationship with God. But out of that, the thriving part of it comes. This is the thriving. That you will bear much fruit. That I would bear much kingdom fruit. This is not to be mistaken with just human productivity or just human achievement. We're not necessarily talking about that, although that is linked in. But we're talking about kingdom fruit, right? The kind of things you can't find in the corporate buildings in the city. The kind of things you can't produce with a company. The kind of things you can't just create because you started a new business. We're talking about the divine things of God in our life, like love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, relationships that are built on the rock of Christ and sacrifice and forgiveness and all these kind of things. And obviously it flows into the natural parts of life, but we're talking about the spiritual, the kingdom. Seeing people come to Christ through our witness. Seeing God give us opportunity to take the gospel further in our workplace. These are the things that will flourish in our life. As well as what we put our hands to. I'm not against that. I'm very much for that, by the way. I'm believing for incredible fruitfulness in businesses this year. Amen. But let it not be that we kind of sometimes just kind of go, oh, that's cool. I've got that, so I don't need the other. Amen. Let's go for the fruit of the kingdom of God and watch that impact our business productivity. Watch that impact how things flow in our workplace, how that produces creativity in our lives and flows into all that we do. Amen? The kingdom fruit. That's what God has for us, to bear much fruit. How much fruit does God want us to produce? Much fruit. Amen? And so you'll be my disciples. See, God is glorified when we thrive. God is actually glorified through our lives thriving in Him. And we don't need to shy away from thriving. We don't need to think that, you know, I'll just be kind of over here and I won't really put myself out there. No. God actually is glorified when we thrive. And so God is looking to help us produce much fruit. But it's only going to come when we're connected to the vine. Amen? So the first thing I want to encourage us to do in order to thrive in 2025 is to be connected and to strengthen our connection to the vine. Amen? Strengthen our connection to the vine. The second thing I felt to share today is to let go of the old and embrace the new. Let go of the old and embrace the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul writes these words, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Somebody say new creation. I'm looking at a room full of new creations today. I'm so glad I'm standing here in this place looking at people who have been recreated in Christ. You're a miracle right here. You're a miracle. The person sitting next to you is a miracle, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I love this passage, and for me, this is one of my favorite passages to share with new Christians and to share in preparation for baptism. You know, I love helping new Christians understand that their old life has passed away, that their old life has been buried with Christ. Amen? That like what they lived before Jesus is no longer who they are. They're a brand new creation. That old life is in the tomb with Jesus, and it's not coming out. Jesus came out of the tomb, but your old life didn't. Come on, somebody. I love declaring that, but sometimes I kind of save this verse for the new Christian But I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, this is not just a verse for the new Christian. This is a verse for whoever, if anyone is in Christ. Hello, anyone today. Anyone who is in Christ, this is a now verse. This is a future verse. This is a verse to help us thrive. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ today, old things have passed away. We can apply this verse to our life as of right now. And by looking back on yesterday, looking back on 2024, looking back at the struggles, looking back at the sins, looking back at the mindsets, looking back at the self-talk, come on, looking back at the way that we saw ourselves or carried ourselves that was not the thriving us. And we can declare, you know what? Those things are old in my life. And because they're old and I'm in Christ, those things have passed away in Jesus' name. The old patterns, the old habits, the old believing. Old things have passed away. You know, the term passed away is normally a phrase that we use to gently share that someone has actually died, that they passed away. And it's a way that we can communicate that. And the Bible right here is communicating to us that the things of old in our life, if we're in Christ, here's how Jesus sees it. He sees it as passed away. He sees it as dead. He sees it as under the blood. He sees it as on the cross and in the tomb. Come on, somebody. When God looks at your life and there is old stuff that was hanging you down, maybe there was stuff that was weighing your branch down into the dirt. As you look back at it today, you can look at it and declare, that thing has passed away. And it was passed away and it's not alive anymore and it has nothing to offer me. I don't need to carry it into my 2025. I don't need to carry it into my 2025. I don't need that dead weight hanging over my shoulder. I don't need those old belief systems hanging over my shoulder. I don't need that old self-talk that I'm not good enough, that I'm not anointed, that God's not for me. I don't need those lies of the enemy. Come on, somebody. Those old things hanging off me. They've passed away. And if I would take a hold of that in faith and declare that and believe that, then I can look to the latter part of the verse that declares that, behold, all things have become new. And that's where we're at today. As we look forward, as we look at today, as we look at the year ahead, I believe God is saying over you and over me that all things ahead of you have become new. All things have become new. When you look at relationships, don't see them in the light of the old. See them in the becoming new. See them through the lens of becoming new, because divine vine life is flowing in you and through you. And God has given us an opportunity for all things to become new. Is that good news to anyone today? But we got to be willing to let go of some old things. There's some suitcases full of stuff that, if we're honest, we don't really want it in our future. If you're looking at something from yesterday and you're like, if I had a choice, I wouldn't bring that into my future. Then today is the day to check that bag, check that suitcase on the verge for bulk collection and know that Jesus, come on somebody, Jesus says it's passed away. Jesus said you don't have to carry that. He wants to give you all things have become new, kind of optimism and faith for the year ahead. But we got to be willing to take our hands off some of that stuff. Don't carry that dead weight into the new. So today I'm declaring over you the old habits, old patterns, mistakes from yesterday, shortcomings, sin, addictions, come on somebody, inclinations towards things, old dreams even and old ideas are behind us and passed away. And we're turning our back on them, amen? We're not going to look back like Lot's wife did when she left Sodom. We're not going to turn back. We're putting our hand to the plow for what's ahead. And we're not going to look back at those things. We're not going to look back with shame and think that they define us, because Jesus said, what's old doesn't define you. You're a new creation. You've been renewed today. You woke up today in new mercy. Did you know that? You woke up today and there was new mercy and new grace. And He still calls you today a new creation. You weren't just a new creation 20 years ago when you said yes to Jesus and now you're kind of worn out and a bit run down and, man, I wish I could get back. No. Every day you are declared by God a new creation, washed in the blood, forgiven, given grace and joy and peace. Amen? But we got to be willing to let go of the old and embrace the new. Anything behind you can be put into the category of old today. even old dreams. Sometimes people camp around old dreams, glory days. You know, I feel like this is a word for somebody today that's like, in your mind, you've been camped back in 1995 or 2013 or some point that was like the glory days of your life, and you're just waiting for things to be that good again. I remember I met so many Christians that have come through our church, and you know, we talk about, man, we're going to do this, and this is the plans we have for the future of this era of the church or this strategy or whatever. And people will be like, oh, you know, when I used to be back in this church, back in this day, we used to do it like this. And it was almost like they're trying to recreate the past in the future. And it's great to bring wisdom from the past, but there comes a point where you got to let the past be the past. Amen? You got to let go of what was and embrace what will be. And sometimes the glory days, sometimes even the dreams that we thought things would happen this way and they didn't, sometimes it's got to be okay to say, you know what? I'm just going to let God give me a brand new dream. Yeah? Come on, somebody. We've been listening to a song, and the words are, this is the sound of my old dreams falling apart. And sometimes one of the hardest things to let go of is the expectations that we had before that weren't met yet. But sometimes we need to hold on to them because they're still for the future. But sometimes there are things that God's like, yeah, let's just let that one go now. Let's let that one go and let's embrace something new. Let go of the old and embrace the new. God has new grace, new mercy, new opportunity. New vision, new dreams, new relationships, new outlook on life, new ways of seeing the future. Anything that's now or next can be in the category of all things are new. Amen? And even something that's been a part of your life for a long time, like a marriage, like a relationship, and you know, man, there's something stale about it, but you can see it. And you can call this verse over and say, God, I declare all things new in that relationship. I declare past hurts gone in the name of Jesus. I declare I'm releasing forgiveness and I'm letting go of what happened. And I declare all things new, that God has the new for you. Don't try and hold what is old. Let it go. Amen? Let God fill your view with what is new. Paul was the master of this, and I just want to share a couple more thoughts before we wind up this message. But Paul, Philippians, is towards the end of his ministry. This guy's been running hard for years and traversing the known world with the gospel. And here he writes from prison towards the end of his ministry. And he says these words starting in verse 12. He says, not that I've already attained. In other words, I haven't arrived yet to what God has called me to, even though he's like a father in the faith. He's accomplished more than so many. Or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Let me read that again because I messed it up. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. In other words, there's some things that Jesus grabbed me and said, I want you to do these things that I haven't done yet. There's some new coming that I haven't yet got my hands on. He laid hold of me so I could lay hold of it. And I'm not going to stop until I see what God has called me to get into my hands. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Here's the one thing he does in this context of old and new. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul is our example for Christian living. This guy was thriving even in prisons, even when he was being chased by Pharisees and people that wanted to kill him. This guy was thriving in the call of God on his life. Whether he was making tents or whether he was making letters in prisons, this guy was thriving in what God had for him. And he had this mentality. He says, I let go of the old. I choose to forget the old and what's behind. And I choose to press towards what is new and what is ahead of me. He lived this kind of forgetting the old, embracing the new kind of life. And he says in verse 15, let therefore us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, he's like, hey guys, let us all think like this. But even if you don't want to or you feel like you can't, I'm praying that God will help you to think this way because this is how you got to think. This is the mindset we've got to have if we're going to thrive and move forward in what God has for us. Paul is our example. He said, the one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting. Forgetting, I think, sometimes we think about forgetting as like we're waiting for forgetting to happen. I'm just waiting to wake up one morning and I don't remember the pain of yesterday. I'm just waiting to wake up and I forget and not remember, like just forget what that person did to me. I'm just waiting for that to happen. I'm praying for that to happen. But I think that Paul displays forgetting as a choice. Forgetting is like an action word. It's like this doing word. It's like I'm choosing to forget. And Isaiah 43 echoes this sentiment in saying in verse 18 and 19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. I feel like there's this activity, this action, and the musicians can join me, of choosing to forget. And I looked up the word forget in the dictionary. It literally means a failure to remember. Oh, it sounds so simple, but I think that forgetting for some of us, it's like a choice, right? You know what? I'm choosing not to dwell on the things of the past. That habit that I was feeling like was defining me, I'm not going to dwell on it. In other words, when I wake up today and it starts haunting me, I'm going to choose, hey, you know what? I'm choosing to forget about you, and I'm casting my mind forward to the reality that there are new things for me. And I'm going to press into what God has for me. I'm going to press in my mind, in my heart, in my prayer life, in my speech. I'm going to choose what is new and what's ahead. Amen? I'm going to choose to forget what I went through. I'm going to choose to forget the people that hated on me, hurt me. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to choose to forget. It doesn't mean that I would never, ever have the thought again. But what it means is when I think about it, when it's there, I'm going to choose to forget it. And eventually it becomes like a habit that I forget. I habitually forget the things I went through. Come on, somebody. So that I can focus on the things that I'm yet to get to that God has for me. He says, I'm forgetting intentionally and I'm reaching intentionally forward. I'm reaching for that which Christ has laid hold of me for. The word reach literally means to stretch out, to hold out, extend, and to reach forward. Reaching forward involves allowing God to stretch you and extend you into something new. Amen? I don't know about you, maybe you entered this year and you're like, yeah, I just want to be super comfortable. I'm just pretty cozy, pretty happy where things are at in things of God. But I believe God wants to stretch you and I forward into more. That He wants to stretch us into something we haven't reached for yet. To take us outside of the comfort zone, take us into the faith zone, into the unknown. To thrust out, this word literally means to launch into something new. To reach out. God has new mercy, new grace, new vision, new opportunity, new hope, new endeavors, new prospects. Come on, somebody. All of it's going to involve us actually posturing ourselves to reach forward in faith. Say, God, really? Is it really more in this relationship? Does that mean I have to stretch myself in the way I love, in the way I see, in the way I pray? If that's what I got to do, God, I'm willing to let go of what's behind, and I'm going to stretch forward into what's ahead. How many people know it's really hard to drive looking through the vision mirror, the windscreen of your life when you're constantly looking at the rear vision mirror? If you're a driver who's always looking in the rear vision mirror, I'm nervous if I'm in your car. If you're like driving like this all the time, looking up at that thing, you can't drive to your destination if you're always looking in the rear vision mirror. Let go of the past. Let go of what is old and embrace the new. Reaching forward. So what's the new that God wants to do in you? What does it look like for you to thrive? What does it look like to connect to the vine in a new way? What is the new that God wants to do in you? I believe that the Holy Spirit's been stirring that today as we've been speaking about God's Word. Maybe it's making that solid daily commitment to God's Word, to eat the scroll. Maybe it's strengthening your hand to offer your gift, strengthening what's in your hand so that you can offer what God's gifted you with to be used by Him to build His kingdom. Maybe it's letting go and forgetting the pain of a relationship that's been in the past. Maybe it's trusting God afresh after a season of disappointment believing that He has good things for you in the future. Maybe it's simply just saying, God, I choose not to look back, but to look forward. Would you fill my view with the new so I can thrive in 2025?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Wangara.